He wants you to understand the spirit of it, because 7 is a number of spiritual perfection. At least you get that feeling whenever 7 comes up in the scriptures. So 7 has this idea of that. That's the complete number. Meaning, as oft as he asks you, forgive him. But notice, he does require that they actually repent. At least they say something, give some sort of sign. Not some sort of obstinacy. And that was the difference between the Pharisees and the sinners that Jesus would dine with. The Pharisees literally had nothing to repent for in their own eyes. Jesus knew they were sinners. They thought they were righteous. And they didn't think they needed to repent. That's why Jesus would preach that the whole need not of a physician. Same thing today. There are people out there, they're not necessarily just religious hypocrites, though they are definitely out there. People who are in religion who think, I'm okay, I don't need anything, I don't need any help, I'm saved. I believe in Jesus, so that's enough. It's the new legalism. The new legalism is not even as good as the Pharisees' legalism, because in the new, at least then, they had some sort of outward form. Nowadays, they just believe, and then they do whatever they want, and then look down their noses at other sinners who won't repent of sins that they find disgusting. You know, so they can be drunks, or liars, or cheats, or whatever, but then that guy, oh, he's a homosexual. And I always use this, not because I don't want to minimize that sin at all. It's an abomination. But the point is that they'll point at other people at sins they don't find acceptable and say they're sinners. And then themselves, they excuse. Without getting too far off track, though, you know, the hypocrisy is also among those same, the gay people, you know, right? The homosexuals, they want to get married. They don't think they need to repent. They're looking to confirm their sin. They want their sin to be confirmed. They want the whole world to confirm their sins. And I don't let them have it. The worst thing, though, is that they're going to let them adopt. And then, you know, who's to say two men who don't love each other decide, well, we don't love each other, but we do love little girls. So let's get married and adopt one. I mean, that's never going to happen. Oh, no, you don't understand how wicked people are. And with the internet, how easy it is for them to get in touch with each other. Let's have a marriage. We'll pretend to be married, live respectably. I mean, we're not gay, but we are pedophiles. And you don't think it could happen? Oh, it could happen. It already happens with natural parents. How much more now with people who can't find a wife? You know, men who are so creepy that no woman would come near them. Or there aren't enough creepy women to go around for them to actually have their own kids. So now they go and do this. I'm just saying, you leave yourself open to a whole, you know, I know that, like, we can't, there's so much evil in the world, it's like we can't eliminate it all. It's impossible, but the offenses will come. But still, how wide are we going to open the doors? You know, how wide are we going to open the doors? Well, people today don't need a physician. They don't need healing. They don't need to repent. They're all okay. We're okay. You're okay. You know, everyone tolerate each other. You know, they talk about a tolerance. I have tolerance for everyone. What it is they want acceptance, and I accept nothing that is not acceptable in my sight, in God's sight. And so, to me, it's not a question of toleration, but of acceptance. Everything has to be accepted. You got to accept this, and they're going to want to shove it right down our throats. And go ahead, try. Because I'll bite it off and chew it up and spit it out. Or it'll come out the other end, you know, purging all meats. You can't ram it down our throats. Some things need to be repented of. Wickedness is wickedness. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one jot or tittle of the law to fail. Now, Christ fulfilled the law in his crucifixion. So that's why I don't wear fringes on my garments. I know about the laws. I'll eat pork because I'm a Gentile and I'm not following the Jewish law. I'm following the law that applies to all men. The law of Christ. The law of righteousness. The law, all the law and the prophets are summed up in two things. Of course, there's a lot of detail in that that you may not gain if you don't really understand, Christian doctrine. You know, love your neighbor as yourself, right? You think, oh, love my neighbor as myself. Well, I know how to do that. But do you understand that to rebuke your neighbor is to love him? In the Old Testament, I've quoted this before, and you can look it up for yourself. It says, if you see your neighbor sinning, you will not hate your neighbor in your heart, but you will rebuke your neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. To rebuke your neighbor is to love your neighbor. Really, it's to not suffer him to sin. Oh, he's sinning. I've got to help him stop. I've got to tell him, look it. Don't you see that what you're doing is wrong? Don't you see that what you... I mean, nobody even cares. You start talking like this today. This is such a fatal thing today. Because I really, the word sin is a dirty word. You know, you can't talk about it. You can't talk about these things because it's just bad taste. No one wants to speak of these things. Sin? Oh, no, you know, we're all sinners. Let's just agree on that and move along. We once were all sinners. But some of us are trying to turn from our sins. Some of us desire that we should purge ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, cleanse ourselves, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Ha 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 ha, you got to be kidding me. No, I'm not kidding you. So, with that mindset, a rebuke is required. To love someone truly, to love your neighbor or your brother, especially your brother, and I mean in the Christian sense, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. You rebuke, and he gets a chance to repent, and you forgive him. Now, if he immediately starts repenting, you don't have to rebuke, okay? A rebuke is meant to provoke a response. A lot of times people want to just rebuke even after they're sorry because they want to get their pound of flesh. They want to really grind the person who's sinned. And that can be, you know, their emotions can run high, you know? And the one, if you're truly a brother who has sinned against someone, and then they sin back at you as far as their forgiveness doesn't come easy, well, help them by forgiving them as well. But don't rebuke them right at that instant because it'll just exasperate the situation. But later on, if you wait, repentance will come if they're a true brother. And so, you know, there's a gentle balance between rebuke and forgiveness and repentance. You know, these things do not always, there's not one rigorous, everyone wants to have, you know, everyone loves the Catholic way. Because the Catholic way, you just walk into a booth, Father, I've sinned, blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay, say 10 Hail Marys and to our fathers. And I've never been to confession, I just know a little bit about it from what I've been told. But I see the appeal. It's just, you just go and you go through the motions and it's done. You're in a state of grace. You're ready to die and go to heaven. And the Christian walk is more than that. It's more than just this constant failure and returning to the booth. I don't want to fail 7 times a day. But you know what? In our walk, sometimes that happens. That's why there are scriptures like this. If your brother sin, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted. Galatians says, you know, we know that those who do certain things will not inherit the kingdom of God.